Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well and you're having a good Halloween. It would any other year, it would be a big thing, wouldn't it? I've got a blog post on thesoberclub.com about sober Halloween trick or treat. You might want to give it a little read, particularly if you are at those early stages, you know, of ditching the booze. I mean, I sometimes think back, and any kind of high days and holidays were a great excuse for me to drink. And if I had done something like Sober October, I would absolutely be at the stage where I was thinking, wow, great, it's coming to an end and there's going to be a kind of party atmosphere. So if the kids are, you know, chuffing great quantities of sweets, then clearly that's a good signal for me to have plenty to drink. So it definitely used to be another trigger time for me. If you are at that stage, do have a read of the blog, and you might want to grab a copy of my little ebook. Obviously it was ages ago now it came out, but in case you haven't got it yet, it's just a little e-booklet. It's tiny. It's only 99p on Amazon Kindle. It's called Goodbye Wine Witch: Tips to Tame the Voice in Your Head. And there's just a few tips in there which might help you over if you are at that stage where you've got the unwanted thoughts, because that's what they are, right? They're unwanted thoughts about the booze or any other behaviour change that you are trying to make. It's been a busy week in the Sober Club. Lots of people going through all sorts of stuff, actually. That's one of the great things about what we do, is it's about so much more than just ditching the booze. I mean, I say just, of course, that's the biggest thing that you will ever do and the most important thing for your own health and well-being. But once you've done that, it's amazing how you then do have to look at some of the other stuff. And I said last week when I was answering questions, that's not a reason not to do this, just because you don't really want to have to face up to what's coming next, because you do become much more resilient to be able to deal with it. And it isn't a magic kind of pill and magic button. It doesn't make everything instantly rainbows and bunnies and perfect, unfortunately. It'd be good if it did. But it definitely gives you a different attitude, and, you know, brings you back that sense of knowing who you are. Anyways, I spoke a lot about that last week, so I won't do that again. I've got some really great guests coming up for you in the next few weeks about a whole range of topics. You know, again, one of the things that I love doing most is being inclusive with so many different aspects of optimum health and well-being, everything underpinned by just ditching the booze. So I'm going to be bringing you an interview with a colleague of mine on how to breathe properly. Actually, he's trained in the Wim Hof method, so he does courses and all kinds of stuff around Wim Hof's protocols of breathing and cold therapy. And yes, ahead of that interview, I can tell you that cold showers, or at least the last, you know, minute of your shower freezing cold, is super good for you. And so we'll be bringing you that interview, so we're looking forward to that. Also, I've already mentioned, I'm going to bring you part of the interview that I did with a naturopath on really good fats, how to eat really well, really good nutrient dense food, which I've said so many times is critical in the early stages of ditching the booze. I'm going to be interviewing Jason Vale. That's super exciting. That's going to happen. he's real busy, but it's going to happen. And I'm also going to be doing some stuff with around the menopause, because, you know, I'm aware that there's a lot of listeners who've got that going on. And even if you're a guy listening to this, or even if you're not at that stage yet, there'll be some generic optimum health and well-being tips, I'm sure, that I'll be able to bring you from that interview. Just a reminder too that I'm part of a Sky TV show. It's going to be on Sky Channel 192. It's called Feel Good Factor TV, and it's really exciting. It's very small. It's done at home. There's nothing fancy at all. But I have had the opportunity to interview some great guests and to bring some of the stuff that I talk about a lot, some of the imperfectly natural stuff, with my other hat on, to the telly. So that's a really cool thing. So that that series starts on November the 7th. It's Sky Channel 192. It's called Feel Good Factor TV. My segment of that is called Imperfectly Natural. And some of my guests include people like Tabitha James Cran, who is an amazing organic hairdresser, Katie Brindle, who is a Chinese doctor, who again talks about the importance of the breath and also the Gua Sha method of massage. And I'm interviewing Star Keshua on her amazing facelift diet, worth it for the name alone. And she'll show us how to make some great smoothies and juices that really boost our well-being. So pop that in your diary, and I'm sure you'll see more information about that. Feel Good Factor TV starts November the 7th on Sky Channel 192. Hope I've got all that right. Check the show notes just in case. And what else was I going to tell you? Yes, I told you about the little ebook, Goodbye Wine, which is only 99p. There's a new blog on the Sober Club called Sober Halloween Trick or Treat. And yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell, really. Alcohol is one big illusion that we've all bought into for so long. And actually, when the light comes on and you realise that it's just a trick, you have to catch yourself with the language you use as well. Because, and I know I was very guilty of this in the early weeks and months, we find ourselves saying things like, oh, sadly, I'm not the kind of person that can just have one drink, or such a shame that I won't be able to do that. And actually, we need to reframe that, because it's not a shame at all. And you aren't in any way inferior because you don't have an off switch. In fact, we are literally the lucky ones. And I know that's the title of a great book. We are the luckiest. We really are. So talking of books as well, I don't want to confuse you, but I do have a book coming out, but maybe I'll tell you more about that next week. That comes out early in the new year. Yeah, I'll tell you more about that next week, otherwise I'll confuse you with too much stuff to think about. This week's guest, we've actually teamed up with Forward Together. Now, I just thought that this was such an interesting and totally innovative, well, I think, project. And we all know about those who are at rock bottom, and well, actually we don't. That's not true. Scrub that. Actually, many of us listening to this podcast are grey area drinkers, and we can stop drinking kind of whenever we want. It's just a case of if we then go back to it again. So it's about totally changing the mindset. But we do know that there are some people who are at rock bottom. They just can't, you know, they're not functioning well. And it's often when people are at that stage that their family think about trying to get an intervention for them, or try and, you know, get them to alcohol services. And we know that people, you know, many people go through detox programs, whether that's in the, you know, in their own home, and then they report to various places, or they're under the supervision of a local doctor. And we know that some people go to rehabilitation and they're in a more clinical environment. But the reality is that's not always sustainable long term when you're back with your family. And also, you know, I've often wondered about what it's like for other members of the family when someone is drinking too much. What is that like, or taking drugs? So I thought it'd be fascinating to interview just the most amazing woman. You're just going to love her. Nicola Evans is from Forward Together, and her story totally speaks for itself. So I'm just going to let you enjoy this interview. I know that there'll be many people listening who, like me, are well over a year into sobriety, and you know, you aren't at that stage where you need that that intervention. But I personally think it's amazing to hear these stories, to hear what people are doing, because the more knowledge we have, the more compassion we have, perhaps there's a way to support, and the more all of us know the possibilities of how we might be able to find a way to refer people or to help other people, I think that, you know, has to be a great thing. So slightly different kind of podcast this week. Normally I'm bringing you tips for, you know, whatever stage you are. And this week it's a little bit different. But I just really thought this was worth a discussion. So enjoy. One thing I rarely talk about on the podcast, but I'm so pleased to be able to discuss it, is intervention and rehabilitation services. And I'm so pleased that my guest is Nicola Evans from Forward Together. Nicola, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your background before we talk more about Forward Together. Tell us about your story.
Okay. I've been in substance misuse area for around 27 years. Substance misuse, mental health, worked for the NHS, all that type of stuff. I did have an issue with my ex-husband with cannabis, cocaine, alcohol. Stuck that out for 19 years, like you do, because you've got four children, which was difficult. But I didn't let it affect my work. In fact, it made my work better. In fact, you know, I'd leave everything out the door as I walked into work and got on with everybody else's problems. And I think that's where that what helped me, helping everybody else, you know, everybody else's problems rather than mine. Stuck that out for about 27 years, and then we was taken over by a big company, and I wasn't quite sure at first. You work for the NHS, you know, it's a bit like being in the army, you know, everybody knows what you're doing, and but then this big company come in, and we was doing groups, because I love doing group work, because I love working with the addicts. I'd prefer to be in a room full of addicts than a room full of your general workers. That's just me, you know. But with the, I don't know, they just didn't treat them right. They wasn't treating them right. And this boss sat me down and he said, you've only got 18 people on your group. I thought that was dangerous enough as it was, because how was I supposed to see their mental health was okay? You know, injecting sites was okay. You know, generally, how was there? Really, it should be about 8 people. And we had another site in Crewe. And I said, what is it? Is it a competition? And he looked straight in me and he went, dead right, it's a competition. So at that point, I took my badge off, I threw it at him, and I said, these are not cattle, these are people.
Yeah.
And I walked out. Oh, God, what have we done? You know, like you do. And I thought, no, do you know what? I'm going to try and do this by myself, because the main area is family and the client. So I work on a triangulated approach, which is myself, the family, and the client. We all know where we are, we all know where we stand. There's no hidden factors, there's nothing, you know, no drinking underground and, you know, stuff like that. We all know where we sit. And I just thought, no, I need to try and do this. And I thought, money or no money, you know, I want to be able to save people's lives. And I've managed to do that. You know, we are in an intervention service. We have the challenges like everybody else, but I think my main area is giving people my time. And if you can't, I was always getting in trouble at work because I was giving people too much time. And I'm sorry, but if you can't give somebody your time, then it's just game over.
Yeah.
So I was giving people, you know, my time and saying, you know, come on, let's sit down. Let's start at the beginning. I do, we're Forward Together. We do a bit like, you know, the detox in the community.
Yeah.
It within the services. I mean, what's that? you go, give them the pills, take the blood pressure, then you leave.
So hold on, just to backtrack. You mean if someone sort of rocks up to their local, to their GP, and they're referred to alcohol services, that's what typically happens, is it?
Yeah, that's what typically happens. And the family are not versed in it.
No.
They don't know what they're taking. They don't know when the worker's coming to turn up. They don't know what should be happening through the night.
So they don't know how to support them either.
No, not at all. And a lot of the time they get, you know, bless them, they get it wrong, and it's not their fault. So I do an in-house community detox where I actually move in with the family, and I'm an outsider looking in, and I'm able to see what's going on. Is there a problem with the husband or the wife or the child, or is it a blended family? You know, is the problems there? You know, we go in for about 5 to 7 days, and with the help of the doctor, the GP's on board as well with the medication, and I stay with them 24/7, you know, and then we sit down, we go through, I'll sit down with each one of the family members and say, where do you think it's going wrong? What do you think's happening? You know, ask their opinion, you know, because nobody's ever asked them before. You know, somebody used to work for the government, and when I went to see his wife, she burst into tears when I said to her, so what do you think? She went, oh my God. She said, it's been 15 years. It's been 15 years and nobody has ever asked me that question. It's always been going into the statutory services. You know, if a family member was to ring up, it's, I'm sorry, client confidentiality, all that sort of stuff, you know, basically go away. Which isn't, I don't think is very fair. And I didn't think it was helping people.
Yeah.
So that's why I said forward together, we're going together, forward together, the whole family, whether it be 4 people or 40 people, doesn't matter. The price doesn't change, you know.
But there's only one of you, Nicola. how can this sort of scale? The service just sounds amazing, and I can only begin to imagine the difference that makes, you know, just incredible, as you say, to have the family on board, to have the support, and for that person to know that, you know, they're not on their own, that, you know, obviously someone who's at rock bottom, those early week, you know, that early, those first few days and weeks are tough. Right. So it's incredible what you do, but there is only one of you. So how does that work? Unless you've managed to clone yourself, Nicola, in which case let's do another podcast on that.
Well, I do have about 7 volunteers.
Right.
But I don't let them go in. I think it's a case of I know what I need to do with this family. They just support them, like going out, going shopping, you know, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But they're going in, and I have to do it really sort of strategically, you know, right, okay, let me do this one this week, this one this week, this one this week. Mm. And, you know, touch wood, we are at 100%. I can't believe I'm saying this, 100% that we've, everybody's detoxed at the minute. Everybody's doing well.
Amazing.
Which is absolutely, it's just outstanding. You know, we had a blip the other day with a guy. I was straight out there, straight out on call, and he was just about to pick a drink up. And it was a case of, right, okay, you don't need to do this. What can we do to stop you doing this? And it's just about sitting there and talking them through it. By the time it's 4 hours gone, you know, how do you feel now? Do you need a drink? No.
Yeah. It's so true, isn't it? It just is. This connection piece is just so critical, isn't it? I mean, yeah. I think also, you know, from what I've, I mean, obviously, I don't talk about this stuff much because I tend to focus on the kind of the grey area drinkers who, you know, who hopefully it can be before they hit rock bottom and we can get them to catch sight, you know, of a different life. But what I've heard from interviewing people on other topics, but it's come out in conversation, is that there's quite a high level of just relapse, for want of a better word, when people have been in these kind of centres. As you say, it's all great while they're in that bubble. We can't really use that word at the moment, can we? It means something else, but you know what I mean. When you're in that sort of very unreal setting.
Like boarding school.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you come out into the real world, do you really have those in-depth tools? And as you say quite rightly, if your family and those around you are not on board with it, how can they help?
Yeah, you mean, you know, when I go to somebody's house, I still expect them to go shopping, you know, and to walk.
Exactly, they're doing their real life stuff.
They have to walk past the alcohol aisle. They have to do that. And they have to learn to do it in a way of either, you know, some people have to walk the way we're going at the minute with, we have to walk a certain way around.
Yeah.
It's, we have to walk down the aisle, you know, and I've had to have a bit of a chat with people about going down that aisle because they are frightened to death.
Mm.
You know, all these bottles are going to jump out on them.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how, and, you know, we all have this kind of concept that alcohol is somehow, you know, able to come out and attract us, but actually it's the thoughts between us and the alcohol's completely passive. It's what's going on in our head, isn't it? You know? And when the light bulb comes on and we can see that, my God, it's amazing. Yeah. I just want to pick up on something you said as well, because there'll be a lot of people listening who, you know, thankfully aren't at the stage where they need your services right now, thankfully, but they have a partner who is you know, is drinking way too much, and I think, you know, you mentioned, your phrase was, you know, you stuck with it, you got on with it for years, and I hear this a lot. People say, you know, one part of me wants to support my partner, but actually there's this nagging feeling, I'm enabling this, I'm becoming an enabler here, by covering up for them and by mopping up and doing all the driving and literally they're becoming an enabler. How should people handle this really tricky situation?
I always say they're living a hidden sentence.
Yeah.
You know, I lived a hidden sentence for 19 years. They're living this hidden sentence with them. So what they should do is, you know, even if, that client doesn't, because we do all sorts of packages, so it's not just a detox package, do a life package, you know, mental health, life coaching, young life matters, you know, all that sort of stuff. Any it's a bespoke package, and if that family just wanted to come to me and say, right, okay, we want to stay with you for 6 months, they will get a free detox anyway with that. And I will either move in with them, or if that's not possible, I'll move around the corner. But what I do is I sit down with the family and go, right, okay, you tell me what you think. And generally they'll say, sometimes it's easier to keep them in that state because it's very, very difficult to, you know, not have them in that state because they're kicking off. I mean, yeah. I remember right back to when I was working and, you know, my husband had took all the money. It was a Wednesday and I'm thinking, I've got no money. He's going to want some weed. Right, okay, I need. And I had to, in my head at work, think, right, okay, I rang mum and said, because I live next door to my mum and dad, and I said, please, can you do the tea tonight for the kids? Do it early when I get home. So I got home, did our tea, and then went straight to bed. because I knew he would kick off. Mm. And he would kick off, you know, he would never have hurt the children. Me was it with another story. But
that really is a living a hidden sentence, isn't it?
It is, because you have to plan. And you know, you do have to plan all this. And it is really difficult. And you'll find out that the clients, that, you know, the partners, they will have to plan. Mm. You know, I had one lady that said, I've got no clue how he's doing it. He does a lot of gardening, but I've got no clue how he's doing it. And what he'd done, he's got this big rockery. And what he'd done is he dug a hole in the ground, put a bottle of wine in it with a long straw in the bottom.
God.
So every time he went to do the rockery, he was, you know, having a bit. And she kept saying, how's he getting drunk? I'm watching him. All he's doing is gardening. Mm. You know, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to watch this 24/7? And sometimes we have to be cruel to be kind, and we do that, and we talk about the enabling of it, and do you drink? And some of them say, if you can't beat them, join them. And I go, no, that, you know, it's codependency then. Mm. We really, really have to look at this. And I say to them, what you have to do is you have to make a choice. Do you want to stay in this and getting well, or do you want to leave? You know, and sometimes they do want to leave because all that love, I don't know, everything's broken down.
Mm. What do you do then for the person who does want to stay with their partner, really loves their partner, and their partner just doesn't, actually is in denial, is completely in denial? Perhaps it's not constant, maybe it's, you know, binge drinking sessions or drugs or whatever, but they're completely in denial. How do you deal with that? I suppose it comes back to the same choice, but how can you convince someone? How can you talk about this with someone who just is in denial and isn't ready to admit what's going on?
By actually saying to them, I want you to film them when they're in the state.
Oh, wow. That's powerful.
Right? Yes. And then I want you to sit down the next day when your partner is sober, and I want you to sit down together.
Right.
Yeah. And it was the guy who worked for the government, and she used to be a head teacher, and, you know, in the end she just wanted to do a simple job as a carer. Yeah. And that's what she did. And he actually made himself type 1 diabetic because of how much he was drinking. Mm. And it was, she said, I can't take anymore. And I said, right, okay. And what I want you to do is I want you to film it. Right, okay. And I want you to sit down together with me, and I want you to see what's going on. Right, okay, we will. So they set up the camera, and it was showing what she did, what he did. And what she did was she would put her earphones in, and she would take herself off and basically ignore it.
Yeah, try and pretend it wasn't happening.
Exactly. It wasn't happening. And I said, right, okay, this is happening. That's what's happened. He was shocked. She was shocked. And I said, right, this is the beginning now. This is where we start. Yeah. This is what's been going on in your life for the past 20 odd years of your marriage. So this is day dot, and this is where we start. So I wrote a program called Kickstart, Choose Change and Moving Forward. And I take them through all them, and we have our ups and downs. You know, we have our blips, we have our benders, you know, and it's about supporting, just giving as much support to that person who's living the hidden sentence, as well as the person who is actually doing the drinking or taking the drugs and stuff like that. It's about giving them equal support. Mm. You know, it's not about, because they feel left out.
Yeah.
You know, going to an AA meeting, you know, and they're moving right forward. Their partner's right back over there.
Yeah.
Still reeling from what's gone on in the years. So it was a case of, right, come on, let's move forward together.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You've really, that name is really sums up your message, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm. And it was a case of, right, come on, let's move forward together. And this is what we're going to do, because she feels left out. She feels like you're going to have an affair, you're going to run off. And I get quite a lot of women turning around and going, do you know what? I wish they was the same as they was, because at least I knew where they was. Mm-hmm. You know, they've turned into a different person. I don't know who they are. They've moved forward. And I'm still here. And I'm still scared. I'm still wondering. And I'm still looking around for bottles. And I'm still doing this. And I'm still in this. So it's difficult. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. But not everybody has the same challenges, I suppose. You know, some of them are ADHD, which we've found in people sometimes that do have an addiction, have either ADHD, autism, Asperger's. I mean, I don't think it's been proven. There's been a few papers going around saying, we think this is a connection. But that's an argument for another day, I suppose. But what I do is I have my phone at the side of my bed, and I do 24/7, and I say to them, if you are up in the middle of the night, that is the loneliest part of the day. The loneliest part of the day. You ring me, and I get really annoyed if they don't, and I say, why haven't you rang me? You know, you've not slept all night, you've cried, you've even attempted to try and take your own life. All you have to do is pick up that phone and ring me. And we go through. Some people ring me and go, right, I want a drink. And I'll say, right, okay, what can we do for the next? And I do it in like 15 minutes slots or half an hour slots. And I'll go, right, okay, what can we do for 15 minutes? What have you got to do in the house rather than sit there and drink?
Yeah.
Well, there's a pile of washing there. It needs to go in the washing machine. Right, okay, have you eaten today? No. Have you had a cup of tea today? No. Right, okay, I'm going to ring you back in 15 minutes. I want that washing machine on. I want toast in your hand, and I want a cup of tea in your hand.
Yeah.
And I ring them back, and they do what I ask them to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'll go, right, we've gone 15 minutes. Yeah, but I still need a drink. Right, okay, next 15 minutes. And we work round and just keep going, and that 15 minutes then turns into 2 hours. Mm. And by that time, that thought
is gone. Yeah.
Is only a thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Until an action, you know. And I keep saying this to them, it's only a thought.
Yeah.
And you put that thought into an action,
yeah,
we're okay.
Amazing. We're all right. It would be great if there were loads of you, Nicola. You are going to have to try and clone yourself. You're doing amazing work. Tell us your website, how people can get in touch with you. And also, is there a way that people can support your work? Even if they, you know, there is only one of you, not everyone can have your services, but is there a way people can support your work at all?
If they wanted to get involved in, I'm just about to set up within our, we've got a rapid response COVID-19 community hub within our, Chapel in the Frith.
That's in Derbyshire, yeah?
Yeah. And there's a lot of things for the children at the minute that are not you know, we've got county lines and stuff like that. And I want to be able to give the parents knowledge. Knowledge is power. Mm. And I want to set up things like that. Anybody that wants to help or get involved, you know, that's fine. You know, there is only one of me, as you say. And, you know, it is difficult. And sometimes you think, I had a conversation with my partner, you know, should I set up a GoFundMe page? But then I feel cheeky then, you know, that why should I be asking people to support people with a drug or alcohol problem? You know, some people, you know, a lot of people don't,
you and I should have that conversation separately, because I think this is something I've just been through recently, actually, and we should have that conversation separately, because I think many people who've come through this for themselves really do want to give back, and they really do want to support the kind of work that you're doing. So let's talk about that separately. Yeah. And I'll convince you. But meanwhile, what's the best website for people to find out more about you?
If you put in, if you just put in Forward Together, I'm the very first one that comes up in Google. So I'm very, very happy about that.
Is that forwardtogether.com?
It's www.forward-together.org.
Okay, I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Nicola, it's fantastic to talk to you. Keep on doing your amazing work. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
So Nicola and I did have a chat after that podcast, after that interview. Make sure you check out the work that she does at Forward Together. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. And she is going to make sure that she has a donate button, because I personally think, some of you may have heard the podcast a few weeks ago when I was talking about the fact that I didn't feel I could receive anyone who wanted to donate for the coaching and the memberships within the Sober Club. And we realised that there were people who wanted to give back. And it's such a huge part when you have ditched the booze, when you have overcome something so massive in your own life, then so often people do want to give back. And so I have the Sober Club give back, and I match that. So and it's been fantastic. It's been absolutely amazing to see that people are really generous and they do want to give back. And, you know, kindness is good for you. So very soon, if not straight away, Nicola will have that set up. And I really urge you to think about donating to the really amazing work that she does. It's incredible. What an incredible woman. So anyways, back to where we were. Have yourself a great Halloween weekend. I mean, you know, other years it would be a big deal. Of course, this year it isn't. But whatever you're doing, whether you're dressing up in spooky clothing or not, make sure you ditch the booze. If you're coming to the end of Sober October, I'll say one more time, check out my blog post, Sober Halloween Trick or Treat. And you might want to grab yourself a copy of that ebook, Goodbye Wine Witch. It's only 99p on Kindle. Make sure that you reach out if you're struggling. This week, it's been certainly within the Sober Club, there have been people struggling for all kinds of reasons. It isn't always just that they are finding ditching the booze hard. It can be, they might be a year into sobriety and something else is cropping up that is just blindsiding them. So you have to share this stuff with other people. So just reach out, get connected. And please, please just get the help that you need. You can follow me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. I'm kind of real easy to find. And we'll be opening up the Sober Club at some point in the not too distant future if you want that kind of connection too. Have yourself a great weekend and a great week. And of course, if you have any suggestions of people you'd like me to interview for the podcast, drop me a message. I'd love to know what you'd like to hear more of. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.